Queer Music Heritage
on KPFT in Houston.
Hello, this is J.D. Doyle with a Queer Music Heritage New Music Spotlight. My regular show, Queer Music Heritage, is heard monthly on Queer Voices on the fourth Monday of the month. But as that segment is more oriented towards the older music of our culture, I often do not get to feature as many new artists as I'd like. And there are plenty of very talented artists whose work deserves to be shared with our listeners. So this feature is designed to do just that. You'll get to hear some of the music from the artist's latest CD, along with some interview comments. And the spotlight this time is on an artist you may have seen on television, because he was a finalist on the first season of American Idol. His name is Jim Vareras. If you watched the show that season, but are a little fuzzy on the names, he's the artist whose parents are deaf, and as he sang one of his songs, he also used sign language for the lyrics. Since American Idol, he's been busy. He's got a new album, produced by Gabe Lopez, and was cast as one of the leading roles in a movie. The movie is called Eating Out, and it's already done well at a number of gay film festivals. And also in his interview, I couldn't resist asking him what he really thought of Simon Cowell. But first, I want to share a little of a song from the new album. That was a little bit of the song Move from the debut album by Jim Vareras. The album is called Unsaid and Understood. First, Jim, how would you describe your music to someone who's never heard it?
I would say it's very rock, pop, very edgy, dark, kind of like George Michael. That's kind of who I've been compared to most often. I think that's kind of the general consensus. That's what I would say. It's a mixture of a lot of different genres of music. There's rock, there's pop, there's some soul, there's some funk in there. You know, there's dance. I don't leave any stones unturned. I don't think that it's right for an artist to limit themselves to just one genre of music. If you can do it all, you know, why not? So that's kind of what I do. If I had to compare myself, it would probably be George Michael.
Is it important for you to be out as a musician?
I think so. I think that's very important. And if I hadn't come out, I would have eventually, just because I don't think I would have been able to be an artist. I think that's really important, to stay true to yourself and to stay true to your fans. And there are lots of kids out there who feel as though they can't do what they want to do because their sexuality is holding them back. And, you know, I want to prove all of that wrong.
Tell me about the song Welcome to Hollywood.
Welcome to Hollywood is probably one of the most, is probably one of the more stronger songs, I think, in the album, especially for radio. And, it's what I've kind of learned since being out here in Los Angeles. It's not necessarily all about talent, and it's, you know, not necessarily about, you know, being the most amazing. It's about who you know. It's about being in the right place at the right time. And this is kind of what Hollywood really is. It's not all it's kind of cracked up to be, and it's not all glamorous. There's a lot of things behind the scenes that you don't really get to see. And that's kind of probably where a little bit of American Idol comes in, too.
I brought a vision of dreams like everyone else here. I saw it on TV and thought it was a mirror. Cars brighter than skylines, billboards brighter than streetlights. Something like a movie screen, not as deep as it seems. Welcome to Hollywood, tired of views and dreams. You better make an impression or start packing your things. Welcome to Hollywood, where nothing is what it seems. Welcome to Hollywood, welcome to Hollywood. Make up and cover up all your insecurities. Forget to remember. he's only skin deep. Lights, camera, acting, press. You should have left with the rest. A little fix, a little tricks. Sometimes just to get a kick. Welcome to Hollywood, town of views and dreams. You better make an impression or start breaking your things. Welcome to Hollywood, where nothing is what it seems. Welcome to Hollywood, welcome to Hollywood. It ain't easy.
Could you please tell me about the song Unsaid?
Unsaid is about a lot of things. It can be about a lot of things. I think a lot of the gay community feels as though it's about, you know, not exactly having to come out, you know, and it's unsaid, but you kind of know that that's there.
And it's part of the title of the CD, right?
Right. And I think Unsaid and Understood kind of sums up my whole experience on American Idol. Like, there are things that you haven't seen and things that are still coming, and American Idol didn't really give me the chance to showcase my true voice, my true self. You know, I didn't have the luxury to actually pick the songs I really wanted to do. And what you see isn't what you get. And, you know, I'm capable of much, much more than what you saw on the show. And that's kind of what sums it up. And that's kind of the whole album. The whole album is completely unexpected, and you don't know what I'm going to do next. And that's kind of why I chose that title.
This isn't good. This could be so complicated. I think it's best if everything is understated. It's understood. This risk could be underestimated. I think we're safe as long as they don't catch on. You know it's kind of fun to run around with this secret. You know I wanna tell our friends, but I must keep it. And I know that there will be more than a few against us, but I know we'll be prepared for those close who will resent us. I think I'll keep this one unsaid, at least until there's time behind us. 'Cause now a few things lie ahead. This could be tricky if they find us. This could be good.
One of the most explicit songs I've heard recently is So Deep. Can you tell me about it?
Ooh, most controversial. I think that I was thinking to myself, you know what, let's do a song, and this one I wrote myself, and I thought, you know what, why don't we do a song that no one's expecting, that, you know, you saw me on the show as the boy next door, but this is also a part of me, and, you know, I guess I don't know if I should say this, you know, on air, but I am still very much a virgin. I still have not, you know, tapped into that part in my life. And, you know, that's kind of how I, as soon as Gabe had the track done, I was just immediately fell in love with it. And I thought, you know what, let's go to a place that most artists are very afraid to tap into. And I wanted to do something like, kind of jaw-dropping and something a little more scandalous and a little more risque. And it just kind of came off that way. And, you know, people can kind of take it as they will, but it's kind of, you know, it's kind of how I picture it being. You know, it's kind of something that I would like to try, something that I think would be fun, and it's just, the track just immediately puts you there. It puts you in that frame of mind. So I kind of took it there, and I was really pleased with how it came out, and a lot of people are loving it.
So when Mr. Wright comes along, is this going to put a lot of pressure on him?
I hope not. But I don't know. I mean, I just think it's something that a lot of people can either relate to, or they want to, or.
So he doesn't need to bring handcuffs.
No, he doesn't. No, not necessarily. But I would be opposed to it if he did.
You say this has been some controversy.
Yeah. It's you know, people immediately assume that because I'm gay, and that this song is about, you know, me sleeping with half of the community in West Hollywood, and that's just simply not the case. But that song is fun to dance to, and it was fun to record, and I wanted to push the limit.
Well, you did, boy.
I did. And they reviewed it in the Advocate, and they said that So Deep was so dirty, even Christina Aguilera was lush, and I just thought that was great.
Well, I wish I could play more of the song So Deep on the air, but it just gets more and more explicit. Take my word for it, it's pretty hot. Now, the first time I heard Jim Ferraro sing was a track on a various artist compilation called By the People. An artist I really respect, Scott Friedman, produced that album, and I was curious how Jim's song got on it. Tell me about the song, I Want You.
It's kind of a more fun, upbeat dance song. Kind of, there's a lot of old school elements in it. It's very funky, and it's just kind of, you know, it kind of speaks for itself. And that was actually on a compilation album by the People.
Right. I was going to ask you how that song was picked to submit to by
well,
the People.
That was kind of the kickoff, the offer to be on this album, for me to start working with Gabe. And because at the time I wasn't really thinking about music, I was thinking more of modeling and acting and that type of thing. And you know, I thought, well, you know, why not? It'll be fun. I'd like to hear what my voice sounds like, you know, on record. And I got a hold of Gabe, and Gabe gave me a few tracks, and I listened to them, and I immediately was like, absolutely, we need to work. And so we worked nonstop for about 2 weeks, and we came up with 6 tracks, and we submitted all 6.
That's fast.
Yeah, we definitely buckled down hardcore. And,
So were you invited to be on the album before you had recorded anything?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and so that was kind of my whole push for recording.
That you hate is something that I want, something you can't give me, something I need a lot. The simple looks that you give me can make me hot and breathless. I can't sleep when you're on my mind, because of you I'm restless. You tease and you play and you leave me insane. I know it's your game, but I play anyway. You touch and you pull, so I have no control. I'm under your spell, there is no letting go.
I want you every night till the morning light. Do you wanna try? I want you to turn me on till the break of dawn. Make you feel so right. I want you every night till the morning light. Do you wanna try? I want you to turn me on till the break of dawn. Make you feel so right.
So look into my eyes.
Okay, you've been out publicly for almost a year now. How has this last year been for you since you came out?
I've had a huge response from the gay community. I've had an unbelievable just respect and welcome with opening arms with me, and I've been invited to perform at all these different events. And while yes, I am more than just, you know, a gay artist, it's important for me to take responsibility in the gay community as well. I know that when I was, you know, struggling with my sexuality, or not really struggling, but coming to terms, you know, I would have hoped and I would have wished there would have been someone my age that I could have related to, that I could have gone to for advice, that I could have, you know, felt comfortable asking questions to. And a lot of people do that with me. And it's not just the U.S. I've gotten mail from all over the world, including France and Germany and Norway. And, It's a great feeling, and it's not something that I necessarily expected, but I definitely have embraced it.
Well, kind of a slightly different way of asking what we were just talking about. How do you think your coming out has affected your career so far?
You know, it hasn't. It hasn't, and I think that's what people were afraid of. Especially my parents were very afraid that I would not be considered for certain opportunities if I had, you know, made the choice to come out publicly. And it's not really about that, and it's not about settling, and it's not about, oh, I'm gay, I can't, they won't pick me. That's simply not true, because if you're good enough, you know, they're going to look at that, they're going to look at your talent, and they're going to look at you for you.
Now that the American Idol process is all behind you, do you have any comments about it?
There's so many things to say. If I could do it all over again, I would. If I could change things, I would. If I was very naive going into the process, I didn't. The thought of it being a talent competition slowly dissipated as I got further and further into competition. And people need to keep in mind that it is a reality show, and it's on, you know, a show that needs ratings for it to be successful. And so they're going to go to any length to create drama, to create things that aren't there in order for the viewer to be enticed by that and continue watching it. And it's all about ratings. It's all about what they're willing to do to make American Idol the number one show. I don't think Simon has any clue what he's talking about. I don't think that he should be a judge. I think that he's probably one of the worst people they chose, and he's there for entertainment value. I don't think that he has the ear. If you were to ask him about music in itself, he wouldn't know a damn thing about it. I think Paula and Randy are the only two people that really know music, because they've both been in it, especially Paula, which is why she's so willing to be supportive. She's been through it all, and as an artist, to be able to relate to that is very important. And that's why she isn't so cruel, because she doesn't have to be. And Simon is a joke. He's just a big joke, and it's, you know, everyone just goes with him and sides with him, and he may be the more blunt one, but he's, you know, I don't think that he's qualified to give.
Well, he's entertainment. It's like the woman on The Weakest Link that was insulting people all the time.
Right. That's an exact copy of her. That's what he does. And people need to keep that in mind. And
did you feel manipulated a little by the process?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. And a particular way that I did was when they focused on my parents being deaf. And that was not, I mean, I didn't just jump in and sign. They edited that to where I just did because they thought, you know, they would make it come across that I would be doing it for my parents when it wasn't true. Simon asked me to do it. And I said sure. And I did it because they asked me to. And I thought, well, you know, why not? It'll make me stand out above all the rest. And it did. And it just became this token, you know, this sob story. And it wasn't supposed to be like that.
Hey, you got some pot shots because of that.
Oh, I did. Very much so. And, you know, people had never seen that before. And it was very different. And no one had ever done it. And they thought I was doing that because I didn't have a strong enough voice. So they would push me to the edge. But it just simply wasn't true. I mean, that's not how it came off at all. And it's very disappointing to me when I saw the final edit, you know, when I was watching it on the show. They pick who they want, and they will change everything to put it in favor of that person. You know, the further I went, the more I started to realize this is a television show. You're here to entertain. You are part of a cast, you know, and I was just lucky that I was in the right place at the right time. You know, I was your white boy, you know, with a good story. And, you know, that's how they made me look.
Jim's been a busy young man in the last couple years. In addition to the movie, he's been in a play at the Actors Circle Theater in Hollywood. He's performed at various gay pride events and even in a Christmas concert with the Seattle Men's Chorus. Before I close this interview, I want to mention again that the artist's name is Jim Vararos. And you can find out more about him, logically enough, at www.jimvararos.com. And Vararos is spelled V-E-R-R-A-R-O-S. It was hard for me to pick a closing song, as there's so much variety on the album. And I think the one about cyber sex is pretty catchy. But instead, I want to share one of the very nice ballads. This is J.D. Doyle, and this has been a Queer Music Spotlight. Here's a little of the song, Hold On, by Jim Vararos.
I've got your picture in my mind. You've got my heart in your hands. Are you giving up, leaving it behind? I'm giving you everything I can.